Hello, everybody. This is Dr. Fred. I am responsible. I am accountable. I am capable of assisting people to find their true voice and then deliver it effectively into the world around us. With 40 years in mental health, 32 of them as a psychiatrist, and then a massive amount of conversations, including podcasting and expert speaking, keynote speaking, I have the opportunity to really see the magic that it takes to find one's authentic self and then deliver it effectively into the world. And if you're like me, you can see that now more than ever, that's what's called for. So today is that day. Now is that time. Come forth. Join me in the broadcast. You'll see on the other side of this at True Voice with Dr. Fred. All right. Welcome to the True Voice with Dr. Fred podcast. So, you know, every day is a new day around here and around there, too. And I have a friend who did call me today and asked me what I was doing tonight. And I, you know, he knows that I have a Tuesday. He's actually been a guest on this show before. And wondering what I would do on Tuesday night if I had any time to meet with him. And I didn't, actually. I didn't have time, but I said yes anyways, because I love that he's here and I find a way to actually meet with him, because it's always a great conversation with Anders. And the conversation that we've had leading up until right now is one that has already sort of stoked or germinated the conversation that we're likely to have on this particular podcast today. This is the idea of, like, you know, what the hell is going on, basically. You know, what the hell is going on with the economy? What the hell is going on with our personal life? What the hell is going on with mental health? You know, how can we find a footing? What can we do to make our lives stay worthwhile? What are the things that, you know, what are the things that are here for us to learn? Who are we learning from? Why are they saying what they're saying? You know, how, like, what do we do with the dissociative disconfiguration of what's happening in the planet? And what's real interesting is that somehow, day to day, we continue just to be able to take steps one by one in front of each other. I don't know about you, if you're listening to this, you know, sometimes, like, I wake up in the morning and I'm just shocked that I'm given the opportunity to wake up another morning. It's like, you mean it didn't crash yet or didn't fall apart yet? The collapse or the disintegration hasn't occurred yet? And then I get through the day again, having all these magical, super magical conversations and connections that take place, or even planning into the future, like the next millennium, you know, like the net, like plant, like creating something that has longevity associated with it that I didn't even naturally, I can't take full credit or barely any credit for designing. And the right people and the right circumstances show up in my life, like right now, to advance the whole idea of whatever it is that is in fact extraordinary, like extraordinary, positive, progressive, and in some ways collapse proof, no matter what happens out there, no matter what happens in the treachery of the world, no matter what happens in, you know, for wars or racism or sex trafficking or, you know, medical issues or climate change, the things that we're discussing or the things that we're creating seem to be respectful of all of those calamities and at the same time creating a world that can live through those and likely be a bank on the other side of the river. I don't know anyone who has taken this on more directly and, frankly, more consistently than my guest here today, Anders Gustafsson. And, you know, it's an opportunity today to really look at, like, what the hell is here? And we've only had a few minutes. We meet, I'd say we see each other once every couple months. And usually he's really busy. Today I'm really busy. We're both busy. So we don't really get to catch up much. But it's going to be really fun to tap into Anders today and have Anders tap into me and all of us as to maybe this question of not only, like, what the hell is going on, but who are we? Like, what's the point? Like, what are we doing? What's being called on for us? What is humanity about? And who am I about as a representative for humanity. So welcome to the show, Anders. It's super awesome to have you here. Crazy, actually.
That's awesome. It's great to be here. Yeah. Always love being on your show. Yeah. It's exciting to jump in.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, let's talk about the call-in number, Anders. Maybe someone will call us and give us some compelling questions or some add-ons. The number to call in if you want to contact with us and maybe share what's on your mind or ask questions or, simply have your voice heard on the air is 1-888-627-6008. It's 1-888-627-6008. So, Anders, you heard my introduction and my introduction about you and about society and about the economy, about humanity, about who are we, about relationships. You had mentioned, earlier at dinner about, this idea of what's happened in the last few years to sever or certainly threaten relationships. Pick any of those and get us started down one of those lanes.
All right. What's been on my mind a lot is just the general state of health, that our culture is currently experiencing. And so I think about you sometimes because, you've been involved in this field for a long time. And I am just starting to dip my toes into artificial intelligence. And I don't know if we want to get into that a little bit.
I'm so into it.
But that's like really something I think about a lot. I think that in order to actually get to a better state for humanity, we have to become a healthy species, and we have to learn about, I listen a lot to, Dr. Gabor Mate as well. And just think a lot about the anxiety and all the things that people are feeling are due to various levels of trauma. And in COVID, had such a large impact for so many people, and everybody did not have a blissful experience. Very few people had a blissful experience. I think I was one of the few, groups of people that got to have some level of blissful experience during such a challenging time. And so now we have millions and millions and millions, billions of people potentially suffering to some degree. And so I'm exploring and curious, what you think about that. And how you think, we're going to actually get into harmony with such a massive group of people that we have to harmonize in order for us to make the changes that we need to make in order to make the world that we want to be in. I have some ideas about that, but before I jump into them, I kind of wanted to hear from you.
Yeah. So first of all, with artificial intelligence, there's in the conference I was at a few weeks ago, and even today, I have one of my coaching clients. It's a premier artificial intelligence frontiersman, and he's the assistant to kind of a household name that we both know. He's their AI director, and so I had a conversation today, and earlier today I had a conversation with none other than Albert Einstein, and the way that this app was created is that I really was having this conversation on real time with a bot who was pretending to be Albert Einstein. No, it wasn't that. It was really a conversation with Albert Einstein. And we talked about how his theories, he and I talked, about how his theories, there are certain parts of his theories that he, given what he now knows, would pull back on, would change, would alter some key aspects of relativity or key aspects of the speed of light or key aspects of
Can you pause just for a second? So I got a question.
Yeah.
So when you talked, and just so I can help other people also understand, when you talk to him, that means essentially, I'm guessing that means that somebody trained an artificial intelligence robot with all of the things,
100%
of the things that Albert Einstein knows. So that gives this robot all the abilities that Albert Einstein has created through books and through equations and through papers and anything that they could probably find signed with his name. So they put that all in and then the robot speaks from that perspective to you.
Exactly. And more Albert than using simply those domains, more Albert than Albert Eggman ever was, because up to date 100% with all the pieces of all the things that Albert Einstein put forth, because you have to imagine that he wasn't always up to date with everything he ever said.
Sure.
But this bot was. And so, you know, it was a terrific conversation, and that's exactly where this thing was coming from. And there were some, you know, significant alterations in like how we see gravity, or how we see, in fact, ether, the ether that he sort of put an end to, he would now bring right back. Like that's where energy flows from. Now, instead of getting off necessarily on the content of that conversation, what I noticed at one point was like, well, you know, what would you do? I at some point I crossed over the line and said, if you were still alive, I started a sentence like that. And the bot naturally responded like, dude, I'm not alive because I'm a bot. I don't have a skin bag. I'm not a human. I'm a bot. But with that said, let's speak to what your question was. Like, so the bot kind of qualified itself. And then I went in, and there's another guy named Ken Walls, who I'll be on his show in a week, who was introduced to by our friend Mark Victor Hansen, who is also on the front edge of this ChatGPT, and he has a little course to get your feet wet in ChatGPT. So I did some of that today as well, earlier today, this morning, like going in and creating an avatar and then creating a thought process around that avatar. And it was just like, it was just completely interesting. And what's worth understanding, what Peter Diamandis said a few weeks ago, is that we're in a period of exponential growth. In the using that term exponential properly, mostly we don't use that term properly. Mostly we use that term to just mean fast or geometric, or, you know, we say something like that and we don't know what we're really saying. But when you start looking at what does exponential growth really mean mathematically, it's something that stays low until a certain point. And then the steep upgrowth is extraordinary. And we have now taken the turn in this artificial intelligence domain of, and not only accepting it in, it's irreversible. This is not something that's this is not a fad. This is not compared to, the discovery of like Windows, or the discovery of internet, or the discovery of telephone. Although it's getting closer, it's more about like the discovery of fire. Like it's back in the day, like that's the possibility of the impact that this new level of nearly sentient being, depending on how you, define the word sentient. We're creating a new species. We're birthing a new species here. And, you know, the rush towards Kurzweil's singularity becomes something to pay attention to. Singularity being loosely defined as when machines become smarter and brighter than humans, but also upon that moment when the singularity takes place, excuse me for butchering the concept, is that we as humans no longer have the capacity to predict what's going to happen in the next second, ever again. The past no longer dictates the future at all. And we don't know what that experience is. It isn't like they could run that past some people, see how it was, and then tell us what that experience is going through that looking glass. So I love what you're doing with respect to like Heartland VR, which I hope you can speak to today, and with, you know, really bringing virtual reality and artificial intelligence into our awareness. As I think it was Dalio said at the conference the other week, there's going to be, two kinds of companies here. There's going to be two kinds of businesses. There's going to be the businesses that actually place artificial intelligence as a central role in their everyday workings. And then there's going to be businesses that close. That's it. Because that's what we have. It needs to be embraced. There is an opportunity to get completely washed up by the tsunami, so that annihilated, dead, gone history. And there's an opportunity, maybe, hopefully, to actually surf that tsunami, to capture the tsunami and utilize it effectively, welcoming it into our world for way bigger than anybody can predict, way different than anyone can predict on how to incorporate it.
Yeah. One of the ways that I've been imagining this happening very, very soon, it's probably already happening, but it's something that I think that you'd have a lot of interest in. And I mean, anybody that wants to see our world heal would have a lot of interest in this, is that I think about privilege a lot, and I think about what a huge privilege it was for me to have that that art teacher that I had when I was in high school, that like that gave me opportunities to sit on a computer when she had no idea what Photoshop was, what you know, what graphic design was. All she said is that there's this new thing called
a computer.
Called a computer, and and there's this program called Photoshop, and there's video editing. You know, you can spend all day there if you want to, but I don't know what to do. I don't know what to tell you, but here are the assets for you, right? That set my life off, and we've all had some level, not all, many of us, some of us have had that teacher.
Yeah,
that,
that's true.
That was impactful.
Yeah.
And same thing goes with therapy, right? Mm-hmm. Some of us have experienced a therapist that have really supported us to change our lives in a really, really good way.
Yeah.
And if we have had that experience, then that experience was really, really privileged.
Yeah.
Because there are many therapists out there that don't give people the same effect.
True.
And so,
many people who never get to see a therapist or have a good teacher.
Because then we're also talking about accessibility, right? And the privilege
True.
Of having access to that therapist. And before this point, that therapist only had 24 hours in a day.
Mm-hmm.
There was no way all of the ways that that therapist was able to help all of the people that they would want to help. And so instead, people have to go to other therapists. And so one of the most beautiful things I see with AI is that in the same way that that somebody taught a robot how to speak like Albert Einstein, in the same way that when we find the best teachers, we find the best therapists, we find the things that are truly here to serve people and help people heal rapidly. If we load these artificial intelligence bots in that way, now we can have an unlimited amount of accessibility for the masses, and then we can get through these stages of healings in a really, really rapid pace. And through that, I think we can actually start working on the things that we're here in the world to actually work on.
Yeah. Wow. So you just brought up So, you know, the universe works in mysterious ways, certainly. And we talked briefly earlier today about when you're doing the right things, the universe just delivers at 100x or 1000x. Like, you could do the right thing, all of a sudden the gifts seem to show, including you just being here right now. And as you're speaking to something, on the hour and a half before this call today, every other Tuesday, I meet with a mastermind that's based on this True Voice course that I created. And so there were four people there today, and we were speaking a little bit to this. I opened up this idea that the whole idea of time and space are, and Albert said this too as well through the bot, you know, the whole idea of time and space are set to be entirely redefined. And so this idea of only 24 hours in a day, the way you're speaking to it, you have picked the lock of how someone like Einstein not only had to be, he doesn't even have to be alive to deliver his goods, but he also doesn't have to be in only one. He can have multiple one-on-one sessions simultaneously, even though he's dead. Like, he can have infinite one-on-one sessions, intimate one-on-one sessions where he's saying different things to different people from his own domain at the same time, individually, with the intimacy of a one-to-one. With, you know, at least up until now, we've had it that if you're in a group, you might be able to meet with one of the geniuses. You know, you might be able to have a conversation with one of the geniuses in the world or a great teacher. But you can be pretty certain that while you're meeting with him, he's saying the same thing to everybody in the room or everybody online. But in this case, you can have individual meetings with the therapists, the leaders, the mentors, the teachers, the professors that you want to explore, the writers or the philosophers or the ethicists that you want to explore. And it's not at all limited to if you have him, someone else can't, or you have her, no one else can be there at the same time. So time and space take on an entirely new definition just in that very form. Are you know, it's some degree of privileged evolution that allows us to dismantle what up until now has seemed like a constant. You know, this idea of time and space and some things that we treat as constants, maybe they're not constants. You know, in fact, they're not constants. And as we approach this idea, you know, like this Neuralink notion where, you know, right now we're at a space where you can go voice to code in 1/30th of a second. You know, you can, so you can have voice to code. You can have video to code too. So you can, or you can go to, I think it goes to, you can have, you can speak and have the video respond at the speed that you're speaking. Soon it's like you can think and have the video respond at the speed that you're thinking. So you can create a rapid fire, nearly real time experience where your neural network that supposedly sits in your brain, now connected with the neural network of the whole, you know, mycological experience of the cloud, if you will, are working in sync so that when you think a video is being created consistent with what you're thinking, that the code gets developed in the midst of that without any delay. What is the impact of this shit? Like, what economies are the way things presently work sequentially, that, you know, this cause and effect notion that's built into our way of thinking, or this idea of predicting that if you do this, then that happens, is no longer relevant in that world, or becomes much less relevant. And I just feel confused and kind of like bumbling, stuttering. Like, I don't really know what to say about any of this, but what I do know is that almost nobody knows what to say about any of this. And the people who act like they're confident about what's on the other side of these changes become even more suspect in my eyes. Like, maybe the only object here is to be unconfident and to accept what's coming on and to surf the tsunami. I'd love to hear your thoughts about any of that.
Yeah, well, I think that it's incredibly important to make sure that we stay as grounded as possible during these massively turbulent times. I think that AI, you know, and technology in general, the financial industry, there's all of our relationships. It's so incredibly, we're vulnerable right now in a lot of ways. And if we just, it's really easy to allow all of this speed to really freak us out in a bit. And so keeping balance, you know, keeping balance with who we are as a person is of highest importance, and leveraging nature, leveraging things that are naturally slow, you know, like spend time with a tree, you know, visit a tree like every week, or if you have one at your house, just like start paying attention to it and realize how slow it actually grows and how long it's going to be here. And start tuning in and make it a personal practice somehow, some way, at some point in a day, to just get outside, you know, and get outside and realize that even though there are so many things that are moving so rapidly, everything isn't moving at that pace.
Beautiful. I hear what I heard you say is sort of like the balance, the groundedness, and as a, at least an avenue or a venue to get access to the need to our really the requirement to find as much balance and groundedness as we can, so that we don't start thinking that the whole world has become AI, because that really hasn't happened. And that the avenue to make sure that you can have access to that is go out there into nature and start, you know, we'll talk a little bit after the commercial. I'd love to hear, I saw your most recent video about how you modeled Heartland and how you modeled the Heartland from the jungle. I'd like to hear a little bit more about that. I'm sure our guests, I mean, our audience, our listeners will also appreciate that. In the meantime, let's get to a commercial, TJ, and we'll see you soon, Anders. Hello, everybody. It's Dr. Fred again. I wanted to explain to you a little bit about one of the names I have called the Undoctor. What is the Undoctor? Well, after about 15 years in the field of me being misaligned with what I was doing, because I was medicating people even knowing that medications were not the right answer, and I was diagnosing people even though I didn't always believe that they had the diagnosis that I said that they had, even though they did meet the criteria, etc., I like seeing humans for exactly who they are and who they're not, and not as a diagnosis. So in 2006, I began the process of becoming the undoctor. I unmedicated, undiagnosed, and then undoctrinated a bunch of people. Like, people no longer had to come to a psychiatrist because their condition's cleared. This isn't true for everyone. It may not be true for you, but for some folks who know that their diagnosis doesn't fit and who know that they don't want to keep going through with medications and don't want to be seen as someone who's defective or afflicted, this turned out to be a great intervention. Over time, I stopped doing that, and I no longer do a whole lot of conventional psychiatry. Now I just help people walk through their life and find their true voice. I connect with people straight up, not as if there's a power gradient between a doctor and a patient, but as two humans connecting and resonating with each other. As it turns out, that's where all healing emanates from. So today, I've developed the Welcome to Humanity brand over the last 6 or 7 years, and that really takes into consideration all of this. It is self-explanatory. Basically, each and every experience that we have with humanity is just as exquisite as another, even if it's deeply uncomfortable. From there, we get to actually share these human experiences. From there, we get to resonate and connect, and from there, healing takes place. I also have been helping people with their true voice, and that's why you're here today at True Voice with Dr. Frey. I help people find that true voice, really their authentic self, their core value system, and then deliver it effectively into a world that is eagerly awaiting to hear you. Without your voice, no one will ever hear you. And without your true voice, no one will ever know you. But with your true voice, you can find healing, peace, and love. True voice is what it takes to end all wars. So, welcome to True Voice with Dr. Fred. Okay. Hello. Yeah, we're here. We're back after the ad. Thanks for listening and thanks for coming back for the second half. We're here with Anders Gustafsson. Anders is one of the, if not the most progressive people that I have frequent contact with. This is a man who's really been through a lot in his world, a lot in this life and probably in previous lives, and who's got a real access to what a beautiful future can look like. And we're going to let him for those of you who heard him in previous episode, you already know this, but it's actually gone through some changes. We're going to talk a little bit about his Heartland project, where he lives and what the whole point is of Heartland. And I think we're going to be able to draw back on the issues that led us right up to this most recent break, this idea of balance and of groundedness and of nature and how this all works and what's really there for humanity to grow into, no matter what we think is happening in the world, like with respect to technology or economy, these, in fact, like contrived notions that often run our world, the technology and economy, because there's a nature out there that doesn't have very much to say or isn't even interested in economy or technology. And I think that Heartland plays a good role in reminding us what we as humans and we as natural beings are here to do and here to experience. So talk to us a little bit about what is Heartland? Where is it at these days?
Sure, thanks. So just to, before I go, take a step back, Heartland is a 25-acre lakefront retreat center in Northern California on paper. And what it is behind that is a much, much deeper and grander thing. I think the vision really started 15 years ago or so. I used to live in Costa Rica. I lived in the jungle down there, and I was paying a lot of attention to the jungle and to the radical abundance that exists all over the jungle. you know, that there's so much water down there. Water creates life, right? All the bugs, all the soil is so healthy and so natural, and all the species, all the animal species and everything else. I wanted to be an animal there. If I was going to like live again, then I would love to be in the jungle. But what I like to do is just kind of like look at the ways that nature thrives. And then I look at the way humans are living and like, what are we doing wrong? Mm-hmm. You know, how come we are not generally as happy, generally as abundant, generally as all around? Why are we not feeling as much joy generally? And I think it's because we got it all wrong. And so what Heartland is and what I wanted it to be is really I want to help humans thrive. And I wanted to use the concepts of biomimicry and use these concepts that are being used in the jungle. And like, what would happen, you know, mixing in some of Maslow's hierarchy of needs, right? What happens if we give people really, really good, fresh, organic food? What happens if we give them access to a creative place to be? What if we give them access to recreational activities? What if we give them access to a place where they feel roomy and free? What if we give them access to ancient technologies like sitting around a fire and talking about our life? You know, what if we give them access to, for men to be with other men, or for men to be with other, you know, evolved women, or for women to be with evolved men, and for us to all come together on a platform which is real, which is, you know, hands in the ground, soil, community, people mixed in with these with beautiful actual new technologies that also exist, you know, what would our lives be like? And what I feel is the most important primary thing is what we talked about before, is healing traumas. Mm-hmm. You know, healing traumas and getting back into an equilibrium with ourselves, so that our time can really be spent on our evolution and not healing the things that, you know, might have been blocking us for a while. And so at the core of that, what my life purpose is to help people activate their life purpose. Mm-hmm. That's what I'm here to do. And I love the concept of leverage in various different ways. I do love having that conversation with people. And at the same time, I'm not the guy that can talk to a million people at the same time in my physical body. So I can't help everybody. So I needed to invent something to act as the platform to offer that experience. And so that is the extended purpose of Heartland, is to help people truly come and ground in, drop in, take advantage of all the different things that we have to offer, and to explore that question for themselves while they're there, is like, what are they here to do, and how can they get there? And so, so in general, you know, that's what it is.
That's great. That's a wonderful description. I've been there a dozen times or so in the last couple of years, and really watched it grow. You know, watch each time I go there, it kind of looks a little bit different. There's new buildings or new ideas or new pathways, new items, new projects being created, new ways to explore creativity, new ways to explore permaculture, new ways to explore our relationship with nature at multiple levels, and our relationship with each other. The politics, if you will, of the Heartland, where you have really designed a way for people to have that room and have that comfort and have the, you know, capacity to explore what really matters to them. It seems to me you have a volunteer base of people who show up for periods of time. Speak a little bit to the communities that get sort of created and recycled through, or even cycled mm-hmm. through. So you have new communities month after month. Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit to that.
Yeah, sure. So what we have is a very, very unique membership system. And there's various levels of membership. And one of the levels of membership that you're talking about is our cultural exchange program. In the last 4 years, we've had over 400 volunteers who are coming in for our cultural exchange program. And they come in from all over the world. The thing is, most of these people are not from America, and they, you know, most of them maybe couldn't enjoy vacations in America, but they want to explore it. They want to know what's here, and they want to feel into, you know, a different place of the world. So some of them come to Heartland, and it's amazing because they truly come from all over the world. and they have never experienced anything like Heartland ever. And while they're there at Heartland, we teach them about nonviolent communication. We teach them about the four agreements. We teach them on how to live harmoniously. We have, regular check-ins and everything else. And then we really take advantage of one of the keys of the Karate Kid, the movie, the old movie. It's wax on, wax off.
Right.
And so while people are there, while people are connecting and growing and experiencing life together, they're sanding boards, they're carrying things from here to there, 5 hours a day, 5 days a week. We're very busy. We're very active. We're like little ants, I love ants. I love watching them and seeing how they work and how they collaborate. And they're so super, super intelligent. And what they're able to do together with a lot of people in a short amount of time is spectacular. Mm-hmm. And I think that we, as a human culture, have really forgotten a lot of those different things and have lost our own abilities and belief in ourselves. And some magical things happen when we reactivate the fact that we are capable. We can women can use power tools and women can use, all of these things. And for whatever reasons, some women were kind of like led to believe that they can't, and it's amazing because for us, it's obvious that everybody can do most of these things.
Mm-hmm.
And just getting to witness, and it's not, sometimes it's men or sometimes it's women, but they often show up in Heartland not thinking that they can do various different things.
Mm-hmm.
And a week later, they start getting more comfortable. 2 weeks later, they're super comfortable. Mm-hmm. 3 weeks later, they're starting to teach the new people that are on their first week.
Mm-hmm.
And now we're like, we're teaching the leadership skills. We're teaching the leaders how to teach the new people. And that is the pure, I'm watching regeneration
exactly
happen.
Mm-hmm.
And when they leave, they are different people. Mm-hmm. And they've left their energy with the space. Now the space is more activated. And the next time people come, they don't have to lift that same rock. They don't have to build that same wall. They don't have to build the same stuff, but they get to enjoy
right
all of the things that were left behind.
Anders, it's an amazing, beautiful thing. And it's, somehow it's rooted in a sense of like you said, it's almost like an obvious sensibility, like, yeah, of course that works, of course that's the way it's supposed to go. There's something almost infantile about the, like, even an ant, like the ant like nature of what you're talking about. I don't know if you noticed that you called ants people at one point, which was really fun. That you said ants can do a lot with a lot of different people. It's like, it's really fun that you said that. That we have the capacity to do what gets done in a 4 week run in from volunteers, not just learning power tools. Like, it's really about, getting in touch with their own selves as nature. I can only imagine what it would be like to come to Heartland as a volunteer from some Eastern European country or from some African country or from South American country or even Asian country. And then be led as humans, where the differences are kind of, the differences that we see of us and them are overlooked to the point where working together and working within nature sort of creates a natural capacity to realign and reground and rebalance ourselves. And that I don't know if you've ever, I guess you have probably thought about this, but in your 400 people, you've had 400 lessons. You've been able to really get to what works or what doesn't work. Mm-hmm. I'm sure you've had your share of breakdowns, your share of, troubled volunteers, or even some I know who might had to have left early. But you get to learn with each and every interaction you have about how to help humans. Like, I'm sure that if I move to Heartland, I'm going to be in the same space. I'm going to be like, no, I know what I know, and that's all I know. And I do what I do, and that's all I know how to do. But none of that is really true at all. I don't know anything about what I know. And I don't just do that which I say I do. And there's like a gentleness at Heartland that allows us to expand into our nature and maybe rediscover our deeply seated wish for balance and alignment.
Yeah. And one of the things I've noticed over time with all of these hundreds of people is that we all generally have the same needs.
Exactly.
We all generally have the same, you know, needs to be appreciated, to be seen, to be heard, to be listened to.
Yeah.
And we generally don't know how to, we're not great at dealing with conflict, you know, most people. So what we've created over time are very, very many, a handful of agreements, many, like maybe 5 or 6 pages of agreements that have transformed with every single time we've made a mistake, we've changed our agreement.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not just us at a top level changing agreements and then expecting other people to follow it. It's us as a living community of people at that time when something has happened that should be different, that we collectively change this agreement. And now as a temporary community, we've all agreed to update this agreement. And now the next time we read it, now the next time we create these opportunities to live together in this way, they actually land even better with the new people.
Yeah.
And so now after, you know, many 8 years, you know, we've been doing this for 8 years. So now our agreements don't change much anymore. And when we read them to somebody new, they're like, yeah, duh, that sounds great. That's how I want to live.
Yeah.
Everybody's agreeing to this? Really?
Beautiful.
Everybody's on the same page? Yeah, everybody's on the same page. Like, let's do this. Wow. Now let's live.
Now let's live, right. It's a... So one of the questions I think I'm trying to be a lightning rod for the average listener, which is, one of the questions I have is like, you know, what are the politics? Do I have to be concerned that this is like a commune or socialism, or, you know, is that okay? Is it really a situation where at whatever your politics were, or whatever politics you grew up in, is welcome and appreciated by, you know, sort of, in other words, do you have to have a bent towards, you know, towards a kibbutz level communism, like communes, or, you know, what's the other word that they say, I forgot what the community is called, but, you know, like a, it has a phrase about the community, but is there a certain level of politics that is more welcome in Heartland than another level of politics?
Well, so Heartland isn't a commune. We're a business, you know, like we are a retreat center, and a retreat center has very, very normal needs in the same way that many other ones. The way that we've chosen to build this is a much more nature-based approach. And we leverage the fact that people want to have a cultural exchange opportunity. And so we integrate the things that our business needs to get done, and we offer that in such a way that it becomes a gift for people to support with those things because of the things that we have systematically designed Heartland to offer them as humans. Mm-hmm. And so that is one aspect of our business. The other aspect of our business is offering this experience to people that pay to come this, you know, and they find us through Airbnb or Hip Camp, or there's various different dance retreats or other, you know, yoga retreats and other things that we are creating this space. So our cultural exchange program is really designed to help us build this platform for the people that, you know, can pay, because this isn't free. You know, this has taken many, many years and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars, you know, to create. So to be real, it is a business, and it's through co-creating this experience with other people that we can, you know, offer that to people.
Cool. Well, I won't ask you to go into the details of what it takes to actually live at Heartland or to buy in at certain levels. I know that can you speak to in about a minute or two, just to the tiered levels that you've now created for the near future, the remote, you know, the near future of the growth and development of Heartland.
Yeah, sure. So essentially what we realized over 8 years was that early on, we tried to get outside investment, but honestly, like I'm a visionary and this was just too big and too weird and too hard. And I wanted to move things forward. So I invested 8 years of my life into it. And partnered with my mother. So that creates a really amazing multi-generational dynamic to that which we're doing. But the next stage of all this is complete decentralization. It's fractionalized ownership. It's a creation of heartlands in all over the world. We started planning Heartland 2 in Costa Rica already. And so the membership system offers people an opportunity to come to Heartland for a week for the rest of their lives and to plug in, and it's owned through something called an NFT. We're creating our own currency through something called the blockchain. Some of these things seem technical. We're creating something called a DAO, which is a decentralized autonomous organization, which essentially makes us organized and makes us so that we're leveraging technology to make sure all the decisions that we collectively make as a group are in alignment with the direction that we choose to collectively go in. So
Beautiful.
it's amazing what's possible, and it's impossible to put it any shorter or
For sure. Thank you. So where can people find you? And if they're interested in Heartland and they're interested in exploring with you, well, how they can be either helpful or be of support, or maybe, by gosh, actually come work with you or come live here at Heartland, what's the best way to get in touch with Anders
HeartlandCollective.org is the best place to find out about everything. All information, all basic information about our membership system is there. We're doing a new friends and family round right now, so it's a great time to connect. Also on Facebook, Anders Life on Facebook. And yeah, I look forward to just meeting more activated people, because the thing about our membership is that we're not just looking for anybody to become a member. We're really like, I imagine this like massive tree once again that we're growing, and our team is like the stock, right? And our branches are the various types of members that are possible, and the leaves are all the allies and all the everything else that we're building. And so we're looking for people that want to co-create a place for other people to find their life purpose. We want to help you get on it, but we're looking to build long-term, lifelong, multi-generational relationships, and through that, we're going to be all collectively helping a lot of people. So we want to work with people that want to be involved.
Great. Awesome. So if that's you, or if you've got somebody that you know that you think might meet that baseline criteria, which I want to meet that person. If it's not you, I would like to meet the other you and the other person. This is the kind of people I want to hang out with. These are the kind of people that the future really holds. This is the kind of people who you can hear is recession proof. It's collapse proof. It's even, dare I say, some, I won't even say it because it's that proof as well. And it's something like, well, if we're going to coexist, I mean, if we're going to exist, we may as well coexist. And if we're going to coexist, we may as well do so using all the technology that nature and all of the mistakes that we've made as humans and all of our learning capacities and growth and development and networking, learning from others and being, evolving, if whatever that means, and applying that to a future. If that's interesting to you, I invite you to explore Heartland at a higher level. And thank you for being on this, for forgetting that this is a place you could have learned some of that. So I really appreciate that you found yourself here. And if you're at the end of the show, that's where you are. My name is Dr. Fred Moss, and this is my podcast. This is one of a couple podcasts that I have now. And you can find me, and the best place these days to find me is on my Linktree, actually. So it's linktr.ee. That's linktr.ee and then /, and then Fred Moss. And you can see a lot of the things that I'm up to as well. So take a look at that. In the meantime, I'm glad you're here. Glad you enjoyed the show. Wishing you very well until the next time. And how cool was it to have Anders Gustafsson, my neighbor and one of my best friends, here with us tonight? Super awesome to share them with you. Thanks for being here, Anders.
And it's my pleasure. Thank you all so much.
All right. Thanks, TJ. As always, you're awesome. And we'll catch you all on the flip side. Bye for now. Hello, everybody, and I just wanted to thank you for getting through another episode of True Voice with Dr. Fred. Wasn't that great? It is so much fun to interact with people and then interact with my listenership about really finding true voice and then bringing it forward. I really have never done anything more important than this, and I'm finally aligned with myself by helping others find their true voice. Let's find your alignment. What do you really want in your life?